I read recently of the adventure of a man called Henry Wordsley. Henry had a fairly distinguished career in the army and in the SAS before he retired. He was intelligent and fit and was always up for a challenge. At age 55, Henry set himself the challenge of crossing Antarctica alone, a journey of some 940 miles. Henry was 71 days into his venture and just 30 miles short of his goal when he took ill. He sent this message back to base. My journey is at an end. I've run out of time. My summit was just out of reach. He was airlifted out of Antarctica and died shortly afterwards. Henry was so near and yet so far from his goal. It is possible to be near something, but not quite there. There are two teams near to winning the Euro Football Championship, but only one team will get there. Some tennis players at Wimbledon made a good start, but as a result of a bad day or a niggling injury, they didn't advance as they hoped. So near and yet so far. And if this is true in the physical realm, it is also true in the spiritual realm. And this is brought home to us through a question we find in Mark chapter 12. Now, Mark chapter 12 contains a few questions. For example, the passage beginning at verse 13 mentions two groups, the Pharisees and the Herodians. And they had a question about loyalty. Should they or should they not pay taxes to Caesar? And what did Jesus say? He answered their question wonderfully well. He said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. In other words, pay your taxes. And then he went on to say, give to God what is God's. Meaning that since the image of God is stamped on each of our lives, we function best as we yield to his rule and to his ways. But then along came a group called the Sadducees, verse 18. Now, they didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in life after death. And yet, what did they do? Quite ironic, really. They asked Jesus on what relationships would be like in heaven. Jesus put them right on some mistaken views they had. But then at verse 28, we notice a teacher of the law coming along with a question for Jesus. The question on his mind had to do with the commandments. It seems he wanted to know which of the commandments was the most important. And in two verses, Jesus summed up the whole sweep of the commandments for this teacher of the law. Verse 30. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. How did this learned religious man react or respond to what Jesus said to him? Well, he agreed. He agreed with the command that God was to be loved above all else, and he agreed that one should act responsibly toward one's neighbor. And yet at the end of their conversation, notice what Jesus said to this teacher of the law, verse 34. When Jesus saw he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." In other words, he wasn't there yet. He hadn't arrived in the kingdom of God, in the family of God. Friends, these are searching words, aren't they? This man was a professional in religious things. For instance, whatever portion of God's word he had, he would have been familiar with it. And he knew that there was a link between loving God and loving one's neighbor. But he was not in the kingdom of God as far as Jesus was concerned. If you like, he was a step short. So let's try and get a picture or a closer look at this man and notice some things about him. Think first of all of the progress he had made. When Jesus said to this teacher of the law, "You are not far from the kingdom of God," what was he saying? Jesus was saying that this man, in his understanding of religious things, had come a long way. The man's own words are testimony to this. Because whenever Jesus pointed out to him the importance of loving God and loving one's neighbor, he was in agreement with Jesus. Verse 32. "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. And to love him with all your heart and with all your understanding, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." This man believed in God. Unlike some in his community who had lost sight of God, this man had a sense of God. And then you will know that part of Old Testament religion involved animal sacrifice. Before Christ came, sin was dealt with through the repeated sacrificing of animals. But a problem that often arose was this. People became far too taken up with offering sacrifices after sacrifices, and not enough taken up with God and doing the will of God. But not this teacher of the law. He knew that to love God and to love one's neighbor was more important than, verse 33, burnt offerings and sacrifices. We might say he had a handle on things. He had come far in the things of the faith. But in the eyes of Jesus, he hadn't come far enough. We might think here of another New Testament character known as the rich young man. We read about him back in Mark chapter 10. It seems that the commandments really meant something to him. And yet, in his failure to accept Christ and follow him, he fell short. Friends, you and I could have a good understanding of God from early on in life. We may have no doubt in our minds about God's existence, and that he is the maker of all things. We might accept that the commandments of God are to guide us and help us in our daily living. We might also agree that of ourselves we have a problem called sin, a problem that Jesus Christ has dealt with through his cross. But let us together try and understand this. If what we know about the love of God, if what we know about Christ and his cross doesn't bring us to Jesus and to faith in him, then we have to hear the words of Jesus to the man in our reading. "You are not far from the kingdom of God." The teacher of the law had come a long way, and we have to commend him for that. But in the eyes of Jesus Christ, he was not yet in the kingdom. Could it be that with the passing of time, some of us have come a long way from where we once were? Perhaps we are no longer as resistant to the gospel as once we were. Perhaps in recent years, we are more often in church than we used to be. And God's word does influence our lifestyle and decisions we make. And all of this is good and all of this is commendable. Yet it's possible to have come far and still be outside God's kingdom, because we haven't yet confessed in our hearts Jesus Christ as our only Savior from sin, the progress he had made. Notice, secondly, the danger he was in. What danger was he in? He was in danger of becoming content with himself and content before God the way he was. The sports person or the musician or the business person who does well, who goes on to achieve, who reaches the heights, are those who don't become content too soon, are those who press on towards their goal. The man in our reading was in danger of becoming settled, content with himself the way he was. He was in danger of failing to take that step of faith in Jesus Christ that would bring him into the kingdom and family of God. Now let's ask ourselves a question here. Who is this man or woman today? Who is this man or woman today? Well, this is the good, decent, upright person. This is the person who doesn't mind God coming up in conversation. This is the person who would never harm anyone. This is the person whose life is attractive and worthy in so many ways. And yet, he or she is the person to whom Jesus says, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." You know, there are many of us here today, and we are in no danger as far as Christ is concerned. And we are in no danger because as God has taken a dealing with us, as God has spoken to us about our sin and our need, we have accepted his Son and the finished work of his Son, and we are seeking to go on with him day by day. But maybe, perhaps there's someone here, and you are in the same danger as the man we have here in Mark 12. The danger of becoming content with things as they are. The danger of not opening up to Christ to receive and follow him. Think here for a moment of Judas, one of the 12. With the other disciples, Judas moved around close to Jesus during his earthly ministry. He shared in meals with Jesus. He saw the miracles of Jesus. Judas shared in missions with Jesus, but he fell short in heart commitment to Christ and missed out on the kingdom. Young person, is it possible that you are stopping short of commitment to Jesus Christ? Older person, you know the opportunities you've had in the past to say yes to Christ, but that step of faith still remains to be taken. Folks, why would you stay as you are, nearly there but not there, when we have such a wonderful, gracious Savior in Jesus, one who loves us and has given himself for us, one who will receive us as we are, as we bow our heads and our hearts to him? Can you imagine a person turning their back on a lifeboat that has come alongside to rescue them? Can you imagine the injured mountain climber turning away from the rescue team? Jesus Christ has come on a greater rescue mission than any of these. He has come to save us from what our sins deserve and make us ready for heaven. And he will do that and more as we turn our lives, surrender our lives to him. The progress the man had made, he was spiritually aware and nearly there. The danger he was in, the danger of remaining where he was, of not moving that step further. Then there's the prize he could have. The prize rises out of the word kingdom. Think for a moment of an earthly kingdom. An earthly kingdom usually has a king or queen at its head. And of course, there's wealth and grandeur and glory associated with it. And to some extent, subjects share within an earthly kingdom. For example, we enjoy protection as subjects within an earthly kingdom. We enjoy a sense of community and within an earthly kingdom. And there are freedoms too. The kingdom of God has so much more to offer with Jesus at its head, with Christ as its king. Paul talks in Philippians 3 about pressing on to win the prize. What prize had Paul in mind? Well, Paul doesn't tell us in Philippians 3 what the prize will be, but we do know that heaven was part of it. Philippians 3 and at verse 14 we read, I press on, Paul says, towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. From the day Paul trusted Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road, he was heaven-bound. He was on a heavenward journey. Now, the period of time between Paul's faith in Jesus until the day of seeing him face to face, that period of time had its challenges. There were ups and downs, good times and hard times, rough times and smooth times, but it would never cease to be heavenward and to the joy and protection and security that heaven speaks of. The teacher of the law who approached Jesus was a good man. He was far advanced with regard to the things of the faith. His interests and inquiries had brought him along in the journey. And yet Jesus said to him, friend, don't miss what Jesus said to him. You are not far from the kingdom of God. In other words, he wasn't in the kingdom of God. Yet, yes, there's the progress he had made. I mean, he was spiritually alert. There's the danger he was in, the danger of remaining where he was, outside the kingdom. The prize he could have in trusting Jesus, he would have a new beginning and a new ending. Because in receiving Jesus and going on with Jesus, the prize of heaven would be his. You are not far from the kingdom of God. Searching words, aren't they? What do they suggest to us? That a person might have come a long way in the eyes of God, but still be outside the kingdom of God. How tragic to be so near and yet so far. How tragic for a ship to be so near the safety of a harbor, but end up as wreckage on nearby rocks. How much more tragic to be near to Christ's kingdom, to be close to that place of eternal security and peace, to be within the reach of heaven and all the joys that stored up there, but miss out because for whatever reason, we just don't bow our hearts to Christ, who loves us with an amazing love and who will receive us as we bow to his lordship and love. Oh, let it not be said of any of us here today, as Jesus said to this man in Mark 12, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And it will not be said of you or me, it will not be said of any of us, if in our hearts we are looking to Christ, trusting in Christ, who brings us into his kingdom, into his family, so making all things well for time and for eternity. Let us pray.